Hi again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to do a commentary on day 85. I will do the reading from the scripture is Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And when I read that, I was reminded again about the verse in 1 John 4:19, where John writes, "We love because He first loved us." And that is a very important concept for me to internalize, that in order to love in the truest, unselfish way that God intends me to love, I cannot do this without the indwelling Spirit. Whenever I try to just love in my own power, it's never a win-win situation. It's a win-lose situation. Either I'm going to do something that will violate my conscience, and so I'm going to lose even though the other person might be helped, or I am going to do things out of the wrong motive, and I might feel that I'm winning, but the other person would suffer because of my wrong motive. And so I have to remember that I must rely on the Holy Spirit. It's just as was read by Vanessa, that last paragraph, without the Holy Spirit, this would be utterly impossible for me to love my enemies. The Holy Spirit provides the power to love supernaturally. And it's because that Jesus loves me, and I am able to love in a way that defies my flesh. My flesh gets its feelings hurt all the time. You know, people will do something, and I get angry, or I get hurt, and I want to retaliate, and I want to tear them to pieces. But one of the things that I am finding in my spiritual walk is the truth of Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 reminds me that my struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world. And so I have to keep coming back to the truth that people are not my problem, but evil is. And every time I get into a fist fight, I'm not talking about a literal fist fight, although that's quite possible in my flesh, but every time I get into a fight with another human being, especially in my mind, and I'm just going on and on about their bad character traits and whatever, and how they irk me and whatever, then it is as if Satan is winning the battle, because he is using me to fight against, you know, another person, and where he is the problem. He's the one that is instigating the whole mess, and it's not solving the problem. It's actually exacerbating it, making it worse, because I am fighting against the non-problem. And so people are not my problem, but evil is. And just as God loved me when I was still a mess, I must do the same thing for other people. Romans says that even while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And so that I have to keep in mind when I'm interacting with people. But it is a true as well, that there are going to be times when the behavior of another person is disturbing to me. And so instead of reacting in a like sort of a way, because whether I fuss at them outwardly or whether I am fussing at them in my mind, I'm still not helping them. And God calls me to help another person. And the best way that I can help another person that is really disturbing me is to get myself in the right frame of mind. And that starts a lot of time with me to think back when I did the same or similar thing that I am noticing in the other person. I have not always been as capable as I am today. You know, I can tell you, I remember my last binges. I remember being into the food, chasing the food, you know, hating myself because of the food, on and on and on. It had, you know, it's been many years, but not a lifetime, you know, and I can certainly know how it feels to be in that craziness and also how it overflows into other areas. When I was overeating, I was also involved in other misbehaviors. So when I see another person acting out, it does me well to think back when I did the same thing. And so even sometimes if I have trouble thinking of how I acted in the same way, then I just all I need to do is ask the Lord to convict my heart, and He certainly convicts my heart, you know. You know, I can get disturbed about people pleasing, I can get disturbed about procrastination, you know, lots of things. And those are, you know, some of my big sins, you know, fear, impatience, grandiosity, self-pity, anger, procrastination, you know, all of those things can get me riled up, you know, with people. And yet those are the same logs, you know, that have a tendency to find their way back into my eye. The other thing that helps me when people misbehave is to remember how many people helped me to stop misbehaving. And that the way they helped me the most is that they loved on me no matter what. They were there for me no matter what. I loved it. When I first came into the 12-step room, the acceptance that I felt in those rooms, I didn't have to have it all together in order for people to show they cared and to show that they loved and accepted me. The friendship, the fellowship in those rooms were healing. It healed me. And I have come to understand that it's the power of love that I sense a lot of times in those rooms, is that and love is a powerful healer. Although, you know, people can be changed by pain and also be changed by anger, those types of things do not hold a candle to love, you know, because love is so almighty and moving. And so I know that many people brought love to me, and I am called to bring love in a situation, especially with the unlovable. And the third thing is that I have to pray that the Lord will help me to see that person through His eyes. God does not make junk, as one of the gospel singers used to say. You know, God doesn't make junk. He is a master thinker. And when He thought about this world, believe me, He did not waste any motion. Everything was planned out and everything was known. And so if He made another human being, just as He has a plan for my life, He has a divine plan for theirs as well. And so who am I to think that I can put down what the Lord has created? In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is some very good passages, like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26 is the passage. But it talks about how the body is a unit and it's made up of many parts. And although the parts are many, they still form one body. And especially like the people that the Lord has placed in my life, He has placed them in my life for a reason. And so when I put them down, when I criticize them, when I get my thinking in the wrong area, then I'm actually shooting myself in the foot. It says in verse 21 of that passage, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And so if the Lord, you know, is saying this in His Word, who am I to look at another human being and criticize who they are? You know, they're God's work. If they're a piece of work, then they're God's piece of work. And believe me, He will help them. And if He wants me to help them, then He wants me to take the log out of my eye. You know, as it says in the Bible, take that log out of my eye so that I can see clearly how to take the speck out of my brother's eye. And so the thing about overeating for me, overeating is the biggest log that I can place in my eye. You know, as long as I was overeating, it was like I was running around with this 2x4, even bigger, in my eye, trying to get a speck out of my brother's eye. And so it's the bottom line for me is clear, clean, and abstinence. You know, I have to do that clean abstinence, that clear abstinence, that committed abstinence. Clean, clear, and committed is what I need to be in terms of my abstinence so that I can keep that biggest log for me as a recovering compulsive overeater out of my eye so that I can see clearly to be a true help to those who vex me, to those that seem unlovable in my life, because God has a plan for their life as well. It speaks about doing good to them and lending to them without expecting anything back. And again, I need the Lord's prayerfully, I need to come to the Lord and stand fast in my prayers to be of help to another person. I also found in my recovery room one of the tools that I learned even early, even before I even knew Jesus as the Lord, was to think about the things that I want in my own life and actually list them out and to pray for those very same things in any person's life that I find unlovable. You know, if I want to find and meet my potential, then I start praying that for them. You know, if I want to feel loved and find my place, then I start praying that for them. And the more I pray, the less I feel that angst and anger toward them. And I realize again, like I said before, my struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world. That verse goes on and says, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And I have often said that I am not wicked. You know, I might act in a wicked manner, but I am no longer wicked because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. He has changed me. He has saved me. And, oh, I am so grateful for that. Very, very grateful for my salvation, because once I accepted Jesus as Lord, once I made Jesus Christ my higher power, He placed His Spirit inside of me. And so that Spirit allows me to live life supernaturally. And it speaks the last part of that verse, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What would I do without the mercy of God? God cuts me slack time and time again, and I'm called to do the same thing with other people. In that first paragraph, it talks about God changing a life, and it says God can change a life, and please, I know He can change a life because He changed me, and I cannot afford to forget this. As it says, you know, about seeing people who are bitter, full of rage, depressed, hopeless, unproductive, and sickened by overeating. That's one of the advantages sometimes of a face-to-face meeting, is that you begin to see the physical changes in another human being. I remember I started this particular recovery program for my food in New York City, and eventually we were moved out of the city. But I remember coming back to a meeting and seeing a man that I had not seen for a long time. And he was a man who used to, once he would start speaking, sometimes people would actually get up and walk out of the room because he was so bitter, so angry, so rageful, you know. He just seemed hopeless, you know. And when he came to the meeting, people couldn't stand to have him at the meeting a lot of times. But this man kept coming back. And when I saw him again, he was abstinent, and he was clean and clear and committed, and he was indeed a new creation. He was a lot like, he reminded me of that parable of the guy who had the demons, and the Lord healed him, and they said he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And I have observed this in the rooms, and I've observed it in my own life. Please, I can look in the mirror and know that God has changed a life. Not only, you know, in terms of the many times I lost and gained the same pounds that, you know, for close to, you know, 23 years, that has not been the case. You know, I've been binge-free, and I've been abstinent, which means then my body gets into the form that, you know, I'm a lean and healthy machine, the way the Lord wants it to be. It says in the second paragraph about people being hateful toward me. And that's the sad thing about it, is that I live in a fallen world, and there will be many people who are hateful. Granted, some of the hatefulness is not unfounded. You know, I certainly still have my periods of being in my flesh, and I can certainly instigate a lot of stuff. And that's not to, I'm not touting that in pride. I'm just saying that as a matter of fact. But most of the time, I really do try to live blamelessly, try to live the way the Lord wants me to be. But there are still people that who don't even know me. I can walk into a room, and they immediately have prejudices, either by the way I look, the color of my skin, you know, where I've come from, who I am, you know, whatever. They can have that hateful demeanor. And again, I have to remember that God's love is greater than their hate. And so I am called to focus on the love of God and not to you know, jump out of the frying pan into the fire, or to be part of the craziness. But anyway, I'm going to stop there. I'm always grateful for these meetings, always grateful for all of you who take the time to show up and to share.